Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thank you again for joining. It looks like we have quite a number of people out there. At least, it looks like, at least 17 of you that have joined. And I know a few of you warned me today that even though it's only 17 phone numbers, there are a bunch of sisters. So shout out to all those SKA sisters if you are online. I'm not going to point you out, but you know who you are. Okay, so we're picking up in our Sefer on Daf Hey on Yom Beis. It says, Vav Adar, Shushan Purim, that's today. So today we're going to talk about the places in your house that need a bedikah. Where do you have to check? Just one little piece of, you know, not warning, but just to recognize that in the laws of Pesach, you will find some pieces of information that are important halachos, but perhaps the way, you know, we live today in a little more of a, I don't know, refined society, more indoors, it's, you know, it's nicer. So some of the issues, like perhaps we're going to see at some point some mention of, you know, if there's a mouse crawling around with some chummies in your house, so something like that, hopefully none of us have to worry about, I hope. But so there may be a couple little things like that that we'll kind of try to run through because they may not be as applicable to us just because, you know, societal things have changed. Okay, Malcolm Tzvichim Bidikin. Again, I'm going to try to keep moving. I think the pace around that yesterday was pretty good, but we did go a little bit over my 15 minutes that I had tried, so we'll see how we do today. Baruch Hashem, I don't think anyone hung up on me last night, so I'll take that as a good note. Okay, Malcolm Tzvichim Bidikin. Kol Malcolm Shiz Lachlus Shaman Hechlich L'Sham Chamit. That's the first call, which is pretty self-explanatory. That any place that you need to be worried that maybe food was brought, you do need to check in that place for chametz. Any room that you might have brought chametz in there from, you know, that is either near your where you eat or it's just a room that is likely you could have brought food, you must check. Maybe you went in there with bread and you left some over that you forgot it or some, you know, some, you know, crumbs fell, whatever the case may be. So again, this is not maybe the most easiest mashkon example I would have given you, but a mashkon is a collateral that, you know, you borrow something from me, you know, you borrow money from me, so the way I know I'm going to get it back is you also have to give me one of your valuable items that I kind of hold on to and trust to ensure that I get it back. So I have a place in my house that I keep these things. I have to be bodik that area in the house. Because maybe you came back, you returned your money, my money, and I have to give you back your, you know, whatever it is you gave me, I don't know, a gold watch that I held on to ensure I got your money back. So maybe you caught me in the middle of my meal and I went in that room to give you back your gold watch where my safe is, and maybe I brought some food there. Okay, just examples. But this is important. If there's a place that you never bring food into, you don't have to check. So he gives some examples, but really anything in your mind that it's really, you never bring food there, you don't have to check. So he just gives an example of some kind of a place where it's storage place for all of, let's say, the dishes. But food never, ever, ever, ever goes there. So if that's the case, you don't have to do bedikah. But again, it's almost obvious. But if you know you brought food there, then you do. So the basic rule is, if it's a place you are absolutely certain you never bring food there, you don't have to check. If you do bring food there, you do. So now we know, now we're talking about a place that doesn't need a bedikah. So you have to check in those rooms, in those places, any place that you put things down. But if it's a place that you don't put anything down, then you don't have to check. For example, very, very low place that no one could reach there, call there, and you're never going to put food there. Then there's no reason to think there'd be chametz there now. Oh, gavoma, or something very, very, very high up on some high shelf that no one ever could reach. Or some kind of slanted. It's so slanted that any food that went up there would fall down. So anything like that, patur mi bedika. Even though it's in a room that requires bedika, it's a location that you have no reason to think that any chametz would be. Im yadu asheni yasham chametz ba'osu shana. Afilu akpam achas chayv bedika. But again, if you're in a place that you know you put chametz there even one time, so now you have to do bedika any of those rooms once you know it. Right? Makom namach tzarich bedika and tinochas mitzurim. So we're going to see that also piece which is very applicable. Babies destroy all our rules. Right, or young little kids destroy all our rules, because what's the point? A baby will take food, or a younger kid, you know, a 1, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, you know, will run around the house with whatever food you give them, and you never know where it's going to end up. So once you have a baby or a younger kid in the house, these rules are going to change, because you're going to basically have to be choshesh that they brought chametz to every part of the house. B'malchum she'okun kol hashana, any place that you eat all year round, tzarech livdu tachas hashulchan v'sof sam. So you have to check underneath the tables and the benches, the chairs. Mishum she'matzei li'pol sham chametz, it's normal for chametz to fall there by. She'yish tinokos tzarech livdu tachas amitos. And if you have a house where there's a young kid, you have to also check underneath the beds. Because, you know, kids often will bring, you know, little kids will often bring food anywhere. This is one halacha which not everyone realizes, right? So if everybody just learned this halacha, it would be worthwhile, because every year, or very often, I have found that when you're doing a bedikas chametz, someone should assign the job that someone should be checking the pockets of the coats in the front closet, because inevitably you'll find some candy, something there every so often. It's real chametz, or maybe not real chametz, but it's certainly not kosher for Pesach food. Again, eventually we'll get to the different details of chametz and what they different are, but that's an important place to check all the pockets in your clothing. And that's true no matter whether there's a baby, you know, in the house or not, if you have to check the pockets. But when it comes to having a kid in the house, it doesn't make a difference. You could say, I'm certain that kid didn't get anywhere. No, what the words mean, I mean, it's not possible that you're in control. Because like we said, kids rule, kids are in charge, they're going to bring their food wherever they want. So you have to just be worried it went anywhere. Right? And if you have a little kid in the house, even the morning after the bedikah, the morning of Erev Pesach, you have to go back and check, you know, assuming you have chametz left in the house. Maybe the smart thing is to have no chametz left in the house by that point. But you'd even have to check after the bedikah. That's how much the little kids can, you know, wreak havoc on chametz. That's paragraph. Any place that a hand can't reach, like cracks and crevices in the floor, then you don't feel the condition coming. Even if there is a chametz there, it's to be too hard to reach. You don't have to worry about it. And being the vato chametz, which is what we talked about last night, the idea of nullifying your chametz is enough. And the concerns we had last night for, in addition to the bittul, while you have to do bedika, don't apply, because it's not in the area you could reach. But we all know there are certain parts of the house where there are certain cracks and crevices where, you know, chametz could fall, and you can reach into them, so then tzarech bedika, then you do have to do bedika. So the basic rule is, if you can reach it, you have to check. If you can't reach it, you can't. You don't have to. Chametz, and if I love gal shalavanim, I don't know how, you know, applicable this might be, but if you have chametz and some kind of stone fell on top of it, right, and you're not worried. You don't have to worry that someone's going to move this huge stone on Pesach, so you don't have to check under it. If you have some big heavy closet and there's some chametz underneath there, also sagi v'bithol. Again, this is, I think, a societal change. Also, none of us, if we knew we had chametz underneath there, we wouldn't want it just because we're our house clean, right? But in terms of the absolute requirement of bedika, you wouldn't have to do it if it's under such a big piece of furniture that is never going to get moved. Again, that's not like your bed, which is more movable, but if you have a big, heavy piece of furniture, so technically speaking, if there was chametz under there, you don't have to worry about it. You resolve on bittul, you're never going to eat that thing again anyway, so you are really going to nullify it. Also, chametz, if it's in a place that you never go to, could go in the bore. So if anyone has in their backyard some kind of pit, even though you might every so often go out there, you don't have to remove the chametz that's in the bottom of your pit. Okay? So we learned something practical. Just joking. So if you're in any of these scenarios, which again, I don't really see this happening to us too much, but if you're in any of these scenarios where you know there's chametz, but it's under the big, you know, it's in a crack you can't reach or something like that, so you don't have to check, but it's better to put on some kind of, you know, item like, you know, some kind of peroxide, something that will make it so it's no longer edible to be eaten by a dog, which in which case we don't have to worry about it again. Okay, let's keep going. And these chametz, b'machum bo, sheyechol chametz lipol misham tzarech lahorido. Okay, this is, I think, self-explanatory. If you have chametz in a higher place, that it's possible it will fall, so you have to get rid of it before Pesach, because it might fall in the middle of Pesach. Malkum v'shuso sheyesham orvim. This is a little bit of an interesting halacha. I'm not sure exactly the case here. I think it's some kind of scenario where you have a non-Jew living in your house. I'm not sure if this would necessarily apply. Let's say if you have a housekeeper or something like that who lives in, because the details might be different, but let's read through it. Malkum b'shusu sheyesham orvim v'yesh tafikim ha'yesham chametz, and you're not sure if they have chametz with them anymore. Ein tzarech b'dika sham. So the assumption is if they brought chametz in, they ate it. And again, obviously on Pesach, you're not going to want to bring chametz, but the question is, if you know they brought chametz, and now do you have to go check? So the answer is no. But if you know for sure, tzarech bedikah, then you did. So it's the question, the point really being is, if you're not sure whether they brought in chametz, you don't have to bother, because maybe they did, maybe they didn't, and if they didn't, I'm sorry, if they did, they probably ate it. But if you know for sure they brought it in, good, so do bedikah. What does that mean that you know for sure? You know that for sure in the last 30 days. Another poet says, no, so it's a difference whether or not you know that happened to be in this last 30 days based on the first line. Not going that we're going to have to worry about this too much. If anybody does, feel free to ask me a question. If you have a place in your possessions that is really, or that is ownerless, or that anyone in the rabbin can come, it's not really yours. There's real chomit. You don't have to bedika because it's not really your place. It happens to be, you know, a place that's, you know, let's say within your property perhaps, but it's something that's totally hefker to the rabbin. Again, we'd have to figure out, you know, based on specific circumstances, how to apply that to, you know, some kind of, you know, case that we might have. So those who are in charge of the shuls have to do bedikah and shul also on the night of Yudal V'Yichol. They can make their own bedikah, their own bracha on the bedikah. But they don't do, there's a chiyuv bedikah, because it's not really there. Makes them to do bittul because you can't nullify something that's not yours. Kasher aposim shekol lamid yom kol dem pesach. This is just, you know, all of your grandmothers taught you this. Kasher aposim shekol lamid yom kol dem pesach tzarech la'ayim b'chol dever she'osa shelo yishter chamit b'ofen shel yichol hashir b'kal. That anyone for the 30 days before Pesach should make sure that, you know, you be careful where you bring chamit in general, because it may not be so easy to get rid of before Pesach. Okay, good. Now, b'meh botkin. This is an important topic. What do we use to do the bedika? Habedika tzriach lios l'or haner. It has to be with the light of a candle. Valola or halavana, and not just, you know, again, I don't know if anyone would check to try to check with the moon as your light. I don't know how well that would work, but I guess at some point in history it did. But anyway, you need a real candle. And the dokla avuka, but it's not a certain kind of candle. It shouldn't be a big torch. Shema will yivdog yafa the yerem yilisrof abayis, but it should be a torch, because a torch is a bigger fire. And you might be worried, how can I do bedika? I'm going to get too close to my house. It's a big fire, it's going to cause a fire. So that's not going to work. But gamashim shena yechulach nisulachon v'stokim, also a torch isn't good, because it's too big to get into the small places that you need to check. Avuka havi, so what is an avuka? What's a torch? Avuka havi she'ochi is beiz na'os biyado. It's anything that's two candles put together. I feel him kulam o devukim yachad havi avuka. Even if it's two wicks that are twisted together, ve'enu chashav ke'echad, that's still not viewed as one. It's two wicks. V'chein ner she'yesh bo shtei psilos, or even one candle, like they make for the special yom tovs. You know, when yom tov falls out on Shabbos, when yom tov falls out on Motzi Shabbos, and you want to have a two wick candle for Havdalah, so they make these fancy candles that have two wicks coming out of them, right? So I think that's what he's talking about. So any candle that has two psilos, the yesh hefer's been psilo psilo, even though there's a distinction between the two wicks, havi avuka, that's still avuka. So the bottom line is two wicks, that's an avuka, that's not kosher for bedika. Sometimes that's why we all get in the mail from the tzedakah organization, the one simple little Hanukkah candle. Afilu b'diyevin yotze b'avuka. B'diyevin, you're not even yotze. You wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah of bedika if you use an avuka, this kind of torch. You shouldn't take a little cup of oil like we use for Hanukkah. You're also worried to get that low into the cracks and crevices because the oil might drip. Okay, so if you use that or your yotze b'diyevin, that's a machlokas. And live dok b'ner shal shuman. You shouldn't use one made of, you know, a fax. Yari live dok bo hetiv shema yinati. Again, I don't know if anyone here would ever be worried about this, but the yari live dok bo hetiv shema yinati b'menu ala kli cholav, right? Because shuman is fat from an animal, so it's like fleishuk. So you worry that maybe you'll be left checking in the milchik stuff, and it's going to drip onto the milchik stuff. Yasser is a kelim, it'll prohibit your kelim because it's meat and milk. Tachem b'ner shal chelav, or if notice the kudos, chelav meaning fat of like a non-kosher fat, where again you're worried it would be drip. Again, none of us are going to be worried about this. V'di'evad yotzei b'ner shel shuman ol chelav. V'di'evad, you would be yotzei with those. L'maisa, but what's practical? I mean, it's important to know what's the possibilities, even though we know what we might do. L'maisa, no, you can live dok b'ner shel shava, right? To use wax, a wax candle, a simple wax candle. That's the minhag. V'no, you can live dok. I don't even know how to pronounce this Hebrew, the panas, which is, if you look at the Hebrew, flashlight, the laz, right? In Russian, it's somewhat a flashlight. So the custom is to use a flashlight, or I'm sorry, v'hanogim, those who have that custom, yishlehem al-malismuch, there is what for them to rely upon. We'll come back to that one more second. B'di'evid, and in lo shava o panas, yachu latzeis b'chol ner sh'b'di'evid yotzen bo. If you don't have a candle, or a wax candle, or a flashlight, and b'di'evid, you could use any of the ones that we said, you'd be yotzei b'di'evid, which is the ones of chelev and shuman and so on. Just not an avuka, you couldn't use a torch. So, practically speaking, you know, those are our two best possibilities, use a candle and a flashlight. And most of my rabbis have always told us that, you know, today that the flashlight is just as, if not more, probably more, you know, successful and effective in doing it. So typically what I would suggest is, you know, I usually start the first couple minutes of the bedika with the candle, and then I move on to a flashlight for the rest of it, and I think that's probably a good practice. Afiluk is next paragraph. Afiluk is shabodik biyom, even if you're checking by day, kagon im shachach livdok b'leil yadav. For example, you forgot to check at night, yivdok l'aranir v'lol orachama, so the next day, even though you're checking by day, you might think, well, it's day, I don't need a candle. No, you still have to use a candle. Don't use sunlight. The whole here is a chom of stuck in the cracks and crevices of the house. The whole notion here is that to get there, you need to use the or haner. So even though it's the daytime, you should do it that way. Achshav yud or rav, v'di'evad em lo badok sham b'lo yadalad, yachol livdok sham b'yom yadalad or hacham. Okay, so some, you know, weird case where you have, you know, some kind of, you know, it's some kind of, like a porch where there's a lot of sunlight. So maybe there, b'di'evad, you could be yosei, even if you didn't, you know, if at night you didn't do it with a candle, so the next day, you'd be b'di'evad, you could light, you could check, I'm sorry, with the sunlight. Okay, not a big deal. V'chein hadin b'shayin ha'chadarim k'neged ha'chalonos mamash, mishum sh'yesham harbe or, avalu l'tzadei ha'chalon. Okay, so also if you have rooms that you have a lot of windows, so you have a lot of sunlight, so b'di'evad, you'd be yosei. But l'maisa, whether you're doing it at night or doing it by day, we should always use the candle and the flashlight. So we know we have a candle to take the feather to be able to get out all the things from the cracks and crevices. Some kind of kli or receptacle to put it in. But if we don't find any chametz, right, then at least burn that kli. Because, you know, Baruch Hashem, we all clean our houses so well for Pesach, and therefore, you know, maybe you didn't find anything, and if you're going to do this a couple of years and never burn anything, then you're going to say, well, what am I doing this for? And then you don't forget the whole mitzvah of beer. So therefore, that's where the custom came, that you should burn that kli along with the chametz, or even if you don't find any chametz, to burn the kli. Right, so this is the message to why all your parents always tell you to help out. It's a mitzvah to organize and clean up and prepare the house before you do bedika. Because if you have a big mess, you're never going to do bedika. You're going to move things and organize the house before you can do a bedika properly. No, the Gemara says, you should do that before. Right? That cleaning up should all happen before the night of Yadalot so that you can be prepared. Next, bracha bedika. But since the mitzvah really isn't bedika, the mitzvah is really to burn the chametz, and the bedika is just a means of getting there, so the bracha is al biur chametz. And berich leva'er yatsa. So that's an interesting conversation for another time, which, you know, in brachos is an interesting question, and think about this. Again, we don't have time now to talk about it, but it's definitely interesting. When do you say the bracha le? And when do you say al? Right, al natilas luva, for example, as opposed to, you know, an al mikra megillah, as opposed to the times when we do the lishmoa kol shofar. There's a whole bunch of examples, so that's a very interesting conversation. Not for now. Bottom line is we do al bir chametz, but if you did it livaer, you'd be yotzei. You do not make the bracha with the word al bedikas chametz. Yishum de'enes sof hamitzvah, that's not the end of the mitzvah. Yishom reshetov lito yagav. Okay, and the others say there's another good klal, put it out on the side of a klal for a brachos. Yishom, we had a couple last night, so there's another one for tonight. Yishom reshetov lito yagav kodem mishem avarach mishem nikiyas. There's a chastama halacha before you make brachos, so it's a good idea to wash your hands to make sure that they're clean, before you make a bracha. A bracha is an act of kedusha. You want your hands to be clean. So, for example, this halacha comes up in the laws of Netilas Lulav on Sukkot also, that before you do it, you should wash your hands, perhaps even before lighting the menorah. All the times before you do a mitzvah and make a bracha, you should make sure your hands are clean. Let's say, again, hopefully this isn't going to happen to you, but let's say you forgot to make the bracha before you did the bedika, if it's still in the middle, right? You're in the middle of doing your bedika, and you realize, hey, we forgot to make the bracha. Let's still make the bracha. Let's say you already finished totally, and you say, oh, I forgot. Some say you can't make a bracha anymore, because the bracha, after all, even though the emphasis and the end goal is the beer, the bracha was misakin on the actual act of the bedika. So some say, therefore, that you should not make a bracha anymore because you're finished. According to this, so according to that opinion, the next morning when you do the bir, so then you should make a bracha, the bracha of al bir chametz. You don't say the Hashem b'malchus, which is Hashem alkinu malach olam. You say baruch atah. I'll be your chametz, some kind of text like that. Ulam yesh harbi achron b'tfilu levarach machar kodam abir ve'en linchos b'mishirot zadus mochlein. However, there are many who say that you can make the real bracha tomorrow before the beer, and that's okay. You shouldn't bother people who want to do that. You shouldn't hold them back. So the bottom line is, even if you totally forgot, which hopefully we're not going to, if you totally forgot to make the bracha at night, you can make a full bracha according to this opinion the next morning before you do the burning. Also, the daber ben brachos to this bedika. This is a good klal in general for brachos. They now let it talk between the bracha and the beginning of the bedika. So that's a general rule. Once you make a bracha, you shouldn't talk before you start the mitzvah. Ben tzorach bedika. It doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether it's about the bedika. Ben shalom tzorach bedika. So when I make a bracha, I shouldn't say anything to my kids about anything, even if it relates to the bedika. B'di'avid imsach, but what happens to b'di'avid if I did? So imsach, the barm shein in the tzorach b'di'avid, if I make my bracha, and then I say to my son, you know, how was school today, right? So then, tzorach l'amsar l'varach, I have to make a new bracha. Right? Tol shalol l'v'daber b'di'avarm shein in the tzorach b'di'avid, ab shenigma b'di'avid v'bitol. Not only that, it's best not to talk at all, the whole time, until I'm done, about things that don't have to do with the b'di'avid. This way I'll stay on task and do what I'm supposed to. However, I don't have to go back and make a bracha. So the distinction is making a bracha, talking between the bracha and when I start to check. So if I make a bracha, and then before I start to check, I talk about something not related to the b'di'avid, I have to make a new bracha. If I make a bracha, and then I talk about something related to the b'di'avid, and then I talk, then I b'di'avid do not have to make a new bracha. The bracha achas yechol livdil kama batim, and just if you're checking, if you have more than one house and you're checking on the same night, you can make one bracha. Bein halicha b'neim chashav kehefsek, and the fact that you travel from one to the next isn't a hefsek. Balabais, in the next page, balabais yechol livdil shliach livdil, you can make a shliach, a messenger to check for you. Aval yishlul sayel davar. So this is a great call put on the side of the page, but it's better for you to do it because it's this call, mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucho. And when you have a choice to do a mitzvah yourself or through a shaliach, it's better if you do it yourself. That comes up in a lot of places, but we're going to move on. My battery on my cell phone is about to die. Hashliach tzarech la'amo etzol ha'ba'abayis b'shas ha'bracho l'teis b'vichas o'an ha'zamim. But then I'm about to appoint a shaliach to check my house, so the shaliach should be next to me when I'm making my bracha, and he should say amen. In achir and lo shamu as ha'bracho, if other people don't hear the bracha, then I shouldn't send them, meaning the shliach really should hear my bracha. Right? So other people, I shouldn't send them to it. Ooh, I'm in kash a little bit more, said bedika b'as. Well, let's say I'm trying to do my own bedika, and people weren't there to hear my bracha, and it's hard for me to finish. I can have other people help me. Even though they weren't there. So lichatchila, anyone who's going to be part of my bedika should be there when I make a bracha, but b'di'avid, if they weren't, as long as they're acting on my behalf, they could still do it for me. In Ein Baal Havayis Bodei Kalin, let's say it's my house, but I'm not able to check at all, so I'm going to have people totally do the whole bedika for me. The Hutziva L'Shaliach Livdok, and I command someone else, and I get someone else to do it, Yivarech HaShaliach. So in that rare instance where I can't check at all, and I have a shaliach, then I should have my shaliach make the bracha. Most likely, even elderly people who might need help of other people to do the bedika for them, you know, most likely they'll be able to do a little bit so they can make the bracha and have a shaliach answer amen, and then they do a little minimal part, and then the shaliach will pick up. Okay, with that, we will end. I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow. I'm going to unmute everybody, and we can talk as